Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
We are witnessing some insane pitching right now from the Milwaukee Brewers staff. Three consecutive shutouts. Furthermore, against maybe one of the hottest teams in the National League. The Cincinnati Reds have had no answer the last three games for Wade Miley, Corbin Burns, Freddie Peralta starting the game, and they've had absolutely no answer for Elvis Piguero, Yoel Piamps, and Devin Williams closing the game. 3-0 the victory tonight. Wow, this is some serious history-making stuff here. Jerry Augustine is with us. I'm Dom Cotroneo. Augie, I know for a fact this is one of those things that you kind of remember and you sit like, man, three consecutive shutouts. You'll be sitting in a bullpen, Augie, I know, where you're like, oh, we could, you know, if you get back-to-back shutouts, you're like, all right, that's a heck of a win. And I wonder how long this is going to last. And normally that third game, it ends pretty quickly. But it just felt like something was clicking today. And the Brewers, a one-hit, 3-0 shutout victory tonight.
You know, it's so impressive about this pitching staff. We all know about Corbin Burns and the abilities that he has and the high standards that he holds for himself. But, you know, today you've got to look at Freddie Peralta. Every once in a while you get Freddie. He's a kind of a little bit of a different pitcher. And they talk about pitchers. Guys are what they call tall and fall. That means they stand straight up and get over the top and throw the ball down in the strike zone. Freddie Peralta is a little bit different. He's not what they call a tall and fall guy, more of a guy who extends out to the plate, gets the ball in the hand out. But today, I'm going to tell you what, he was really released. His release point was dynamic. He was very consistent with all his pitches. And when he can get that good, nice, relaxed delivery, he can be very good. And today, I'll tell you what, it's as good as I saw him. Locating his pitches very well, getting ahead of hitters. And when he needed to make a pitch, he made some big pitches. But what else can you say about this pitching staff? We all know, talked about the bullpen last night, how Piguero and those guys are doing so well. But I'm going to tell you what, this starting staff is really setting the table for this ball club right now.
And they're really taking over, given they're getting good news on the Brandon Woodruff front. He is due back in August, so a little over 2 weeks, 3 weeks' time or so. And then furthermore, it's another thing that we talked about plenty yesterday. Just give them some runs, give them some offense, and they can take care of the rest. Now, shutouts are great. They're not going to last forever. Don't freak out when they do inevitably give up a run tomorrow, because they're not going to shut out this Reds team, this hungry Reds team, four games in a row. But in regards to Freddie, the thing that jumps out to me about Freddie's start today, 6 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, right? He is coming off of a start where he set a career high with 28 swings and misses against the Reds. He just saw Corbin Burns carve 13 strikeouts last night, 18 total strikeouts last night for the Brewers pitching staff. Freddie could have gotten big, said, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get my strikeouts today. And there is something a little more controlled. He was dotting fastballs on corners. He was fine with not getting swings and misses. In fact, he only had 9 swings and misses tonight, but Augie, I think you agree with me here. In my opinion, this was his best start of the year, better than that 10-strikeout game against the Cubs, better than the 10-strikeout game against the Rockies, because there was never a doubt. No one even touched third base today against Freddie Peralta.
Dominant command. I think that's what you got to look at, Freddie. You know, we talked about Miley, the way he pitched against the Cincinnati team, the finish out with the 1-0 game in Milwaukee last Sunday, where he changed himself. He didn't go throw a lot of off-speed stuff. He really power-pitched him a little bit, used his fastball up and down in the zone, and really went after red hitters and was very successful. Then we saw Corbin Burns. We talked about his last start, how he used his cutter 60% of the time. Last night was the break ball. Made some adjustments against a good offensive ball club, and that's what we saw of those two guys. But I think Freddie Peralta stayed to his game plan. I think the one thing about Freddie Peralta in tonight's game as compared to last time out, execution. Executed all his pitches, commanded the pitches, getting at the hitters, knowing when he needed to add and subtract a little bit on his pitches, he was able to do that. And when Freddie gets out and he gets consistency with his delivery, he is very good. And today, I agree with you, Dom. I think it was one of the best outings he had all year.
And I misspoke. He had 10 swings and misses, so come after me if you need to. But, I mean, the changeup was great. He had 9 strikes on 13 changeups. He got enough chase out of the curve in the slider. Fastball was really good. Freddie earned this win and another quality start for him. But the bullpen continues to be a massive story for this team. So now over these last 3 games, the bullpen has thrown 9 innings. They have allowed just 1 base runner over those last 9 innings. It was the walk to Joey Votto tonight by Elvis Piguero. So when you look at it, it's a hit and no-hitter from the bullpen. And better yet, the strikeout numbers are just crazy to comprehend. They have 17 strikeouts over those last 9 innings. Of the 27 outs, 17 of them are strikeouts. This is incredible.
You know, the one thing that's been so impressive about the bullpen dominant, we're going to talk about Piguero and Piumps and Williams today, of course, because they've done such a great job the last 2 ball games, is they get in the counts, and even when they get behind in the count, they still have that ability to make great pitches. How many times have we seen with these 3 guys, all 3 of them, and I know that Devin throws the airbender, but the other 2 guys are Piumps and Piguero. They'll get deep in the count. They'll go to 3-1, 3-2, and they finish them off with a good hard slider in a good spot. The ability to command those pitches, that secondary pitch, being able to throw it for strikes, being consistent with it, and yet uses good fastball and good locations really makes a big difference. And these 2 guys, really, when you talk about Piguero and Piumps, have been able to do this stuff with their good, hard breaking ball and a good fastball. And then when Devin comes in, he's been able to locate his pitches, and the airbender has just been fantastic. But these guys have been really commanding the strike zone, getting ahead of hitters. And I'll tell you what, they don't walk anybody. They don't give up easy bases by giving up walks. They make you earn it. And I'll tell you what, they're throwing the ball very well.
I mean, it's exactly how you draw it up. Right now, you would like some more offense, too, and we'll certainly get into that in the next segment. But this is – it looks easy when this is happening – but, Augie, you've pitched in shutouts before, man. It's not that easy. I mean, to do it 3 consecutive times against this lineup, I mean, Friedel, McClain, these rookies that are studs, Jake Fraley's having an incredible year. He had the only hit of the night, a broken bat, you know, sawed off. That should have been strike 3 a pitch earlier, but I digress. And then De La Cruz has been electrifying the world. Get this. Since De La Cruz stole home last Saturday, the Brewers have now held them to a 1-for-12 in his last 3 games with 5 strikeouts. You always get, you know, scouting reports, and you learn about the team, and you learn about things from the people watching the team. But the Brewers clearly have a plan. They have been executing it to perfection after that game last Saturday. And there's really no opportunity for anybody in the bottom half of this order to do anything. And I'm just so marveled at to do it. And it's not like one of those 3 consecutive shutout streaks where you're like, oh, that's a rebuilding team, right? That's a not very good team sort of thing. Like the last time they did it against the Miami Marlins in 2013. This is a team you are contending with for the NL Central title with maybe the second most exciting offense in the National League, only behind the Atlanta Braves. And you have gone into their house and shut them out twice.
The ability to locate your pitches. And you talk about, this is a good young Cincinnati team, but young players go up there and they have an idea of how they're going to approach certain pitchers and how they've been approached by them and what are the sequences that they've been used against them. But I'm going to tell you what, you got to give credit to this Brewer pitching staff. And, you know, we'll talk about the bullpen right now and saying that, you know, they locate their pitches. I've been really impressed on how they get ahead with their fastball and their off-speed stuff. And then be able to pitch on the inside part of the plate. Show that you can go on the inside part of the plate, back them off the plate a little bit, or go in there and get a good pitch up in the zone is so important. And that's one thing that these guys have been doing, it locating the pitches, not falling behind. Sometimes they go to 3-2 count, but being able to locate those pitches and have confidence that when you need your secondary pitch, you can throw it for a strike. That is so important. And I'll tell you what, talking about being able to go out and execute it is really the main reason that why this ball club is playing so well and the pitching wise, and especially from the bullpen.
A couple of texts here. If you want to join us, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. This one from Aaron in Illinois. Lots to like about this one. Win another series and win the season series against the Reds. Probably Freddie's best performance of the year. Pyomes continues to be one of the best middle relief guys in the majors. And another win against the lefty. They have really turned it around the last 3 to 4 weeks. I certainly agree with that. Thanks there, Aaron, as well. We're going to talk about the offense and our player of the game coming up next. Before we do that, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities. It's going to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Just getting rolling here with you till 11:30 tonight. Stay with us, Brewers Extra Innings. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine with us as well. Brewers win 3-0, third consecutive shutout. It was all at the long ball with the offense. We'll talk about offense in this segment. Right now it's time for our player of the game. The poll is up on my Twitter at Dom_Catronio. It is out of time. The fans have said Freddie Peralta is the player of the game. 57% of the vote, 123 folks voted in. Freddie Peralta is the player of the game according to the fans. My player of the game, though, Augie, is William Contreras. Adding in a home run, calling a shutout, having three hits, having himself a night. William Contreras is my pick because you always got to give love to the catchers, in my opinion.
I'm a pitcher, and I'm going to go with a pitcher 90% of the time, almost 100% of the time. And Freddie had a great game. He really pitched well, did exactly what he needed to do. But what else can you say about William Contreras, what he's done for this ball club? He now has a 9-game hitting streak. Tonight he had the three hits, the big home run. They added a run onto the scoreboard. But you got to like what he's done. He's been an important part. He's been getting on base. He's giving you good at-bats. Tonight I would go with Contreras also. Great big home run in a big spot to give Brewers additional run.
Now, one guy we still haven't mentioned on this show, because pitching's the story tonight, is Christian Yelich. And Christian Yelich leads off the game, first pitch, solo, opposite field, home run in Cincinnati to left field. So we know the offense has struggled, and we know things have been odd with the offense and production. But nonetheless, when they get downhill, when they take the lead, when they are able to be out in front, they're a different team. They were up to a 1-0 lead for most of this game. They added the homers from Contreras and Miller later on in the contest to get some breathing room. But there's something about this team, when it takes the lead early, they tend to be a good enough team to not give it back. It's just a matter of how many runs can you get. It's so simple, right? I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. You score early, you're generally going to win the game. But there's something elevated to that for the Brewers because their offense has been such a premium that they don't get many runs when they do have the opportunity to score early and get the lead. The performances seem to really improve. I don't think I'm crazy for saying that, even though I'm not happy about scoring three runs tonight.
Well, I think, Dom, when you got to look at some games and what happens when you're playing against a team that you've been dominating all season long, and the Cincinnati Reds have been playing very well. Like you just said, they're one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball. They've been playing well, winning 7 series in a row before coming into Milwaukee just before the break. But you got to look at what you want to do against a club like that. You want to get on the scoreboard early. And I tell you what, Christian that time took the ball, hit the ball the opposite way. You know, here's a guy that, you're looking at what his batting average. I don't remember what it was about a month ago, but it's .281 now. He's starting to climb. He's starting to get on base, starting to do those little things. He's got 20-plus stolen bases. Those little things that you do to get on the base early, score runs early, are huge. And, you know, we all know that he has the power to drive the ball out of the ballpark and always swings the bat well at Great American Ballpark. But I agree. I think when you talk about Christian, he's starting to set a tone. He can versatile. He can hit anywhere in the lineup. But, boy, when he's in that leadoff spot, he gets on base. It really helps us Brewer ball club.
Brewers went 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position. I mean, really all of the offense was William Contreras today, if you take anything away from the other home runs in this game, though, too. The Brewers had 7 hits. They only drew 3 walks, but nonetheless, they got the victory. But the other detail to this game, Augie, is they got a win against a left-handed starter, as Aaron texted in and reminded us here, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. It's now, over the last seven games against a left-handed starter, the Brewers are 5-2 with a batting average hovering right around 300 during that time. That's a team starting to turn the corner, and that was the number one Achilles heel in April and May. What's going on against lefties? And we're maybe seeing a light at the end of the tunnel in that matchup.
Well, I think he's starting to get on base, and I think he's scoring some runs. And, you know, tonight was a game where you hit a couple home runs, and that was the difference in the ballgame because you got a great pitch game. The last time out against the same pitcher, they were able to put some runs on the board, hitting the ball all over the ballpark and getting some big base hits off of them. But, you know, it's doing the little things. I think we talk about a club, certain guys, certain times, certain pitchers, either left-hand or right-hand, are going to be good against a certain ball club because they locate the ball, they pitch very well. But what we're seeing out of this Brew ball club, we're seeing this ball club having the ability not just think about driving, pulling the ball and driving right-handers to left and left-handers to right. We're seeing him hitting the ball all over the ballpark and getting on base and stealing bases and taking advantage of the opportunities. And that's what you have to do. When you're not scoring runs, you get opportunities. You have to take advantage. And the Brewers have done that against some left-hand pitchers, and it's really paid off in the last seven games, like you just said, and they're 5-2.
Yeah, they're playing better baseball as of now. More thoughts on that coming up in a moment, including the difference-making moment of the game. But I want to remind our fans that the player of the game is brought to you by the Salvation Army. Every day, the Salvation Army provides shelter, meals, and support to those in need. And your donations make a difference. Visit samilwaukee.org to help today. We've got our difference-making moment and a trend that you may or may not have noticed. That's coming up next on Brewers Extra Innings. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio with Jerry Augustine. Thanks for joining us here. The Brewers win 3-0, third consecutive shutout. Here's a text that made me laugh. Devil's advocate, the Crew had scored 5 runs in a week. Clearly, they need Shohei Ohtani and should mortgage the farm system for 20 years. I don't think the Brewers are going to get Shohei. It's my pipe dream. It's my pie in the sky, if you will. But, yeah, they need some offensive help, as we just talked about. That's for sure. All this text are also asked about the non-strike call to Jake Fraley. I'm not here to complain about the umpires, but, yeah, they missed that one. They missed that one for sure. And they missed a few other ones throughout this game, good and bad, in this one as well. A text from Bill in Boulder, Colorado. If this team gets 3.5 runs plus on average, they win. Go Crew. And thanks for keeping me company tonight. Appreciate you, Bill. God bless America indeed. Augie, this is the part where we do our difference-making moment of the game. And in a 3-0 win, third consecutive shutout, I mean, there's not many moments to choose from. But I'll give you the floor first. What was your difference-making moment?
That's an easy one. I think it's Christian Yelich. Starting the game off, anytime we talked about how important it was to get off to a lead, and Christian hitting that home run that just put the game in perspective for Freddie Peralta, got the Brewers on the board, got them the little momentum early in the ball game. And I'll tell you what, anytime you're beating a team and you're scoring runs against a team, they're not scoring against you. You put runs on the board early, makes a big difference, and Christian did that in the first inning.
It's just setting its own, man. It's just saying, put my foot down and say, we got this today. My difference-making moment's a little bit different. I'm going to go in the sixth inning, okay? Freddie's back out there, facing a third time through the order, and it's still a game very much in the balance. It's still a 2-0 game. Freddie's looking good, but he's facing the third time through in the top of the order. We all know who's lurking in that cleanup spot in Ely De La Cruz. And the fact that he retired the side in order against Friedel, McClain, and Fraley, never facing De La Cruz with a man aboard in that inning. He only faced De La Cruz with a man on in the fourth inning. That was my moment saying, okay, the Brewers got this. That means if they play their cards right, they will not have De La Cruz come up with anybody on base with a chance to tie or take the lead. And that's exactly what happened the rest of the game. Keeping runners off base is something I asked in the previous post games last weekend, making sure you keep runners off base ahead of Ely De La Cruz. Keep these big innings from happening. And a texter reminds me here, too. Coming into this three consecutive shutout streak, the Reds had homered in 22 consecutive games. And the Brewers have now shut them out in 3 straight. And you're doing it 2 of the games in one of the most hitter-friendly ballparks in the game, and you're holding him down to this point. I can't quite express how impressive this is of what the Brewers are doing. I don't want to get caught up on it, but I think, Augie, as we look back here, I want to remember back to that two-game series in Minnesota, June 13th and 14th. Devin blew a save, and then he got beat in a 4-2 loss against the Twins. The Brewers reached 500 at that point. They were 34-34. That was when the Reds first started to pop up. Since that day, the Brewers are now 17-8. 17-8 since that rock bottom two-game series in Minnesota. It's just a reminder. There's a lot of season to be played, but the Brewers are starting to come around the edge, and you can still say they haven't played their best baseball yet.
Yeah, and they're not healthy yet. Wait till they get Woody back and get 100% and get Rowdy Tellez back and get their total offense back is really going to make a big difference. But, you know, they had a tough streak. Everybody thought right before the All-Star break they had a tough streak. How were they going to play? They went out and played great baseball. They pitched well. They scored some runs when they needed. That's what's so important about this ball club, being able to do the little things. Today, the key for Freddie Peralta was execution. He executed his pitches throughout the game and really did very well. But this team is starting to take shape where they're starting to get guys understanding their routines, where they're going to be used, how they're going to be used. We just got to get this offensive going. And I think once they get healthy, they're going to do the things that they have to do, doing the little things they have to do, and they are going to score some more runs. But I'll tell you what, you got to like the way the pitching staff is pitching right now. And I'll tell you what, they get Woody back, they're going to be even better. So it's going to be fun to watch.
And you got to think Matt Arnold is sitting in the front office right now watching this team pitch so well, the bullpen finding its footing and being a tremendous weapon and asset for the team. And he's got to be sitting there looking at that phone and thinking, you know what, this team could use a hitter. This team can use a hitter, and it may cost a prospect that you really like. But you know what? When you got pitching, and if you get Woody back healthy, and Burns is turning a corner, Freddie may be turning a corner, you got Miley who's been pitching great, you've got 7-8-9 locked down, it might be worth it to send off a prospect or two to get some offense, because when you have pitching and you have enough offense, you don't need an elite offense. When you have enough offense, you become a pennant contender. And I think the Brewers are reminding everybody why they have always been favored, even in these struggles. The pitching has never really wavered. It looks worse because the offense is bad. When the offense scores four runs, they're the best team in baseball. That's all they're asking for.
I'll tell you, you got to like this ball club, and you got to like this starting staff. You know, I just looked at it right now. You got Burns, Woodruff, Peralta. When Woody gets healthy, you got Hauser, Miley, Colin Reyes throwing the ball, Turan. You got seven guys there. You could start any one of those seven guys, and you're going to be competitive. And they've all shown that they can be competitive. You throw that bullpen mix in there. I'll tell you what, they've got the makings of exactly where they want to be coming these tough months of August and into September, where they got an understanding that, you know what, pitching can carry a team. It can carry a team when you're throwing the ball well and you're staying in the games, because this team will score runs eventually.
This team needs to score runs sooner as opposed to later. But Jerry Augustine joining us here on the program. Augie, always appreciate your insight and your knowledge of the game. And I know as a pitcher, you're loving what you're seeing these
last
3 games.
What if you
could
build a six-figure retirement?
This has been incredible stuff.
It is. I'll tell you what. Back-to-back shutout, three shutouts in a row. You know, you look at what the Brewers did. You said, Dom, earlier, Brewers had 10 guys on base tonight. Cincinnati's only had 9 on in the 18 innings that we played in the last 2 games. That is amazing. That is a well-pitched ball games by this Brewer pitching staff. And it's going to be interesting to see if the Brewers can get out the broom tomorrow.
I'd love to see the broom, and it's a season series win. That means that the Brewers have won the season series, which means they own the tiebreaker against the Reds. So yes, right now the Brewers are one game up on the Reds in the standings. They're essentially 2 games up on the Reds. Augie, appreciate your time as always, my friend. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, so in our difference-making moment of the game, is brought to you by Annex Wealth Management. Annex Wealth Management, investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. It's all from a fee-only fiduciary. Forget commission sales pitches and financial products you don't actually need. Know the difference. Annex provides elite, comprehensive financial planning customized to who you are and what you need at annexwealth.com. And again, just to wrap up the note on the strike. Was it a strike? Was it not a strike? On the cross-up, trying to describe it in case you don't know what I'm talking about. The 2-2 pitch to Jake Fraley in the fourth inning. Freddie had not allowed a hit yet, and it was a cross-up. It was a curveball, and William was expecting a slider or something firmer or something like that, and then he darts back inside. Clearly a strike. I mean, without a doubt. It's in the box. It's in plenty of space and everything, but it was a funky catch and everything, and he didn't get the call. And it's always tough to get the call on a cross-up, but it was undoubtedly a strike. And then on the next pitch, it was a sawed-off grounder up the third baseline. But the Brewers won the game. It was the only hit of the contest. We can complain all we want, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It would have been cool to say it would have been a no-hitter, but it would have been a combined no-hitter, and I didn't want to deal with all the people complaining about combined no-hitters. Up next, we're going to pick our Who's Hot segment. We're also going to hear from Craig Counsell a little bit later and get some highlights as well with you till the bottom of the hour right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Another shutout. And remember, you can hear all of these post-game shows today, tomorrow, all the shows we have on the podcast feed. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. You will also get Brewers 360 in the morning on WTMJ with Wisconsin's Morning News. Matt Arnold, Sophia Minert, Craig Counsell, Adam McAlvey, among the dignitaries, Jeff Levering and Lane Grindle make appearances as well. It's a fun little few minutes to start your morning with, to hear from the skipper, from the head of the club, and it's not necessarily always all about baseball, so it's a good way to get your day going. Right now it's time for Who's Hot. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Trusting your family's comfort at home all year long with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, and their sale is extended right now. You can get up to $1,000 off of a Daikin furnace or an AC unit through the end of the month here in July. Financing is available. Schedule your appointment today at Sider, SEIDER.com. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Families helping families since 1912. William Contreras is the obvious pick right now. 3-for-4 today. He has found a little tweak right now of things going in the right direction. Here in July, he is a man possessed. In the month of July, 17-for-38. That's a .447 batting average. 3 doubles, 2 homers, 7 runs driven in, 2 walks, only 6 strikeouts. It's at 11.47 OPS right now. And you go back to his pinch hit walk that he had, and he also had a base hit in the game in the finale against the Mets. He's just been on a roll, and it's been really fun to watch William Contreras come to his home. Not only, we knew he can swing the bat, but how about him as a catcher behind the plate? He continues to impress. Him and Caratini have been splitting the catching duties, but this is the second time during this streak that he has caught the shutout, and he has been calling great games. He's fifth in baseball in framing. He has been somebody the Brewers have always had their eye on. They got their hands on him this year, and by the way, he was in the same deal as Yoel Piamps, and he was my player of the game for good reason. I mean, William Contreras is on fire right now. You got to give a little bit of love to this front office, and no one ever bats 1,000 when it comes to trades and things of that nature, but this is another trade that, you know, the moment it came across the wire, Brewers fans were excited, and now even more than halfway into the season, there's still plenty of things to be excited about when it comes to William Contreras developing as a big leaguer, developing as a catcher, and continuing to impress everybody around the Brewers organization. Going 3-for-4 with a homer today, catching yet another shutout for the Brew Crew. So a quick reminder of how the standings are right now, with tonight's victory and the game is just about over across baseball after today's rain delay. It's been a long day here on WTMJ, but the Brewers now in first place, 51-42. Again, over their last 25 games, they are 26 games. They are, it is 25 games. Math is hard sometimes. It's been a long day. 17-8 over their last 25 games. They are in this. That is since they were 500, 34-34 after losing the two-game series against the Minnesota Twins. And we predicted that that would be rock bottom. They still have not been below 500 since they were 0-1 to start the season. The Brewers are getting things going in the right direction. So they're in first. The Reds are one game back in record, essentially two games back with the tiebreaker. The Cubs are in third. They won today. They are seven games back at 43-48. Pittsburgh, they lost again tonight. They lost 3-1 to the Giants, so they are 41-51 right now, 9.5 games back. And then finally, St. Louis, they lost game one of the doubleheader, won game two of their doubleheader, I should say, split day with the suspended game and such, but they are still 11.5 games back. They are at 39-53, last place in the Central Division. Brewers' run differential is creeping up a little bit too, is getting closer to zero. They're at -9 for the run differential. When you keep in mind they've got a 16-2 defeat and an 18-1 loss on there this season, I think they're doing the right things right now. They're certainly stepping in the right direction. We got about 20 minutes left in the program. We're going to hear from the manager, Craig Counsell. We'll also get to a few highlights in this one, talk a little more about some of the numbers and the records that are impacted from tonight's game as well. Brewers win 3-0 in shutout fashion, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. If you're still up with us here after a long day of baseball, we had about an hour-long rain delay before the day started, and here we are after another Brewers victory. We're here from the manager up next on WTMJ. The offense needs more runs. We know that. Five runs, that's crazy. You're not going to win many games doing that in a three-game span, but when your pitching is as elite as it is, sometimes things work out. That's what's been happening the last few days with the pitching staff. How does the manager feel, Craig Counsell, after a 3-0 victory tonight? It's three consecutive shutouts for only the third time in Brewers franchise history. Here's the skipper.
Yeah, I mean, we pitched exceptionally well again, and, Freddie was awesome tonight. No threats really. Just one base runner max, and thought he just did a nice job. His fastball was just really good, and it made everything else good. He landed his off speed. His changeup was much better tonight. I thought put it in the zone a bunch, made it really competitive, and that slowed him down. And so, you know, when he does that, the combination of all the pitches are really hard for hitters.
Were you surprised that he was able to shake off the rain delay and be as sharp as he was?
No, I mean, we had good notice on the rain delay that, what was going on. So, they came in and told us at 6 o'clock that we were looking like it was going to be delayed. So, there was no kind of get ready to go. It was early.
Craig, you talked yesterday about trying to get the offense going. There's a little bit more life. The three solo homers today, wound up being enough. I'm sure you'd like to see more, but you get those homers.
Yeah, I mean, well, we started off good for sure. We hit four balls hard in the first inning and only got one run, actually. But it was enough. William had a nice night swinging the bat. I thought Willie didn't have much to show for it, but had a really nice night. But we didn't get, that next hit would have been nice. In the seventh, eighth, and ninth, we had opportunity to kind of get that next hit and just couldn't get it.
Just the, overall three straight shutouts. I mean, this is obviously one of the hotter teams coming into this stretch, and it's just hard to do, isn't it?
Well, I don't care who you're playing. You shut out a team out three times in a row, and that's great work. And it's been, it's been the same story. Six innings from a starter and three great innings from Elvis, UL, and Devin. So they've done great job. They've done great work. And it's put us in a good position, and we're off to a good start.
Devin obviously has that pedigree as a closer, but are you seeing the confidence in Elvis, particularly, and Yoel, growing with each outing and the success?
Yeah, I mean, it's been there for a little while. It's been there for a while, for sure, but those guys are, it's really this, as they, this stretch of games, start with that 17-game stretch, it started then, to me, is that they've been, it started in Cleveland, when they started just, Elvis, I thought, had some big innings. Yoel had some big innings in Cleveland, and then it's kind of just taken off from there, and they've been on a really good run.
That game-ending play was pretty special, too, Monasterio.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, it gave Devin just a quick night. I think under 10 pitches for the night, so that's always a good thing. And that's, look, that's part of what, you know, we're doing here. We're trying to play really good defense. That factors into lineup decisions every day, to play really good defense every single day. And, you know, it's small stuff, but that, you know, takes pitches off the board for pitchers, makes their innings easier, puts up a zero when, instead of, you know, letting the next guy up. And it matters in this stuff.
Not that it changed anything wanting to win the rest of the games you have with them, but to take that season series, how important do you view that in the scheme of the season?
Yeah, I mean, look, we got enough games against them where we want more wins against them. But, you know, I think going through this last year and understanding that, you know, the two teams, you know, at the end that we were chasing, we had lost the season series against. When you're in the last week of September, that's not a good feeling. So to know if this is a team, you know, that we're going to be one of the teams that we're going to be battling with, that that we've got that accomplished already, is you know, it makes your lead an extra game, really. So it's a big deal, and we saw that last year.
I mean, remember that feeling at the end of the year, knowing that you had to take it out right in the wild card because of that series you lost to the Phillies? The Brewers get to enjoy the other side of that coin this season if the Reds are able to stick around for the rest of the season. Right, it's essentially a two-game lead now for the rest of the year. And this was awesome. This was flat-out awesome tonight. And now get greedy. Go for a sweep tomorrow. I don't care if it's a 15-14 game. Let's see some offense. Let's score some runs. Let's try to get a win tomorrow. Let's get to some highlights. That's going to come up next. This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get up!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Despite an hour-long rain delay, Big Sal hit Great American Ballpark right when the game was supposed to begin, so we had to let it pass, get ready to go, and Christian Yelich didn't mind the wait. In fact, he was ready to go on the first pitch.
In the first pitch, his swung on, hit out to left, going back his steer, at the track, at the wall, and it is gone! Christian Yelich starts this game off with a bang! Number 12 on the season for Yelly, and it's 1-0 Brewers.
Lane Grindle on the call. It was the 8th leadoff homer of his career and his 4th this season. So running downhill early, 1-0. How about some insurance? Get some more runs. We don't need to do this 1-0 thing all over again. William Contreras adding to the cause.
Wind up 3-1. Fly ball hit into deep right field. Fraley going back. Track, wall, turns around. See you later. William Contreras with a solo home run to the opposite field. And the Brewers have doubled the lead in the 4th. It's 2-0.
Josh Maurer's call of that one. That was after a pitch that definitely wasn't a strike. Called a strike and gave William the opportunity to hit one out the other way. And he joins the double-digit home run club with 10. Meanwhile, he was catching a shutout from Freddie Peralta. He was awesome. Freddie went 6 innings, allowed 1 broken bat single, walked 2, struck out 6 in 6 quality innings. But it's still just 2-0 Brewers. As he heads to the top of the 7th, a guy who hadn't homered in a long time coming to the plate.
High fly ball deep left. Miller put a charge into it. Back up and way, way out of here. Into the second deck for Owen Miller. Wow. Packing a wallop in Cincinnati. The Brewers, 3 solo homers. They lead 3-0.
It had been nearly 2 months since his last homer, May 24th, against the Astros. Ironically, also the last time the Brewers had back-to-back shutouts this season. But Miller goes yard, 5th time this year. That makes it 3-0 Brewers. Then it was in the hands of the Brewers bullpen, and they have been tremendous. First it was Peguero, a pair of strikeouts in a scoreless 7th. Then it was Pyomps, a pair of strikeouts in a scoreless 8th. Then Devin Williams, once again, 3rd consecutive game he came on, struck out McClain, struck out Fraley, and all he had left was Ellie De La Cruz.
First pitch to De La Cruz is a ground ball left side. Gloved by Monasterio. Spins. Throws to first in time. And the Brewers shut out the Reds for the 3rd consecutive.
straight goose eggs in the scoreboard for the Reds. Great stuff from the Crew pitching staff. We'll go over all the records and all the numbers that they are in company of and everything that went down tonight. Brewers get the victory 3-0. They'll go for a sweep tomorrow. Stay with us. Brewers Extra Innings.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Final 3 minutes of this one. Brewers, wow, just wow, wow, wow. So let's go over some of these numbers that they've accomplished and got things done. Again, I'll reiterate the Ellie De La Cruz number that I said earlier in the program. The Brewers have now held Ellie to 1-for-12 with 5 strikeouts since he stole home last Saturday. That is doing your job against him. The Brewers, this is from Stats Perform. The Brewers are the first team in MLB history to record 3 straight shutouts while striking out at least a dozen batters in each of those games. That's some pretty impressive stuff. A reminder, this is the third time in Brewers history they have 3 consecutive shutouts. They have never had 4 consecutive shutouts. And if they had won today's game by a 1-0 final, they would have become the first team in MLB history to win 3 such games by a 1-0 final score. But hey, 3-0 isn't that much more anyway. And this was maybe my favorite anecdote from all of this. From the last time the Brewers had 3 consecutive shutouts, it was back in 2013 against the Miami Marlins. And I'm talking the new ballpark Miami Marlins with the green wall, the home run sculpture. It was not good at all. In fact, the starting lineup for the Marlins, Adani Echevarria, Giancarlo Stanton was still there, Logan Morrison, remember him, Justin Ruggiano out of nowhere, Derek Dietrich was still playing. But the reason why we say this lineup, right, this was the last time was in July of 2013. The Brewers, this is from Kurt Hogan. He recalled this very well, and double-checking the box scores, it makes it even better story. The last time the Brewers threw 3 straight shutouts, they bodied the Marlins so badly in 3 straight games that Miami promptly called up its top prospect in the following series. His name was Christian Yelich. And today, Christian Yelich hits a leadoff homer en route to the 3rd consecutive shutout victory. This one all against the Reds, who, oh, by the way, after the Brewers first beat them in their series head-to-head, 3 games out of 4, back at the start of June, they also called up their hotshot prospect, Ellie De La Cruz. And since then, the Brewers have only lost once out of 5 games against those Reds. Sometimes you match up well to a club, and they've got no answer for you. Now get greedy tomorrow. A 12:40 first pitch Central Time. We will be on the air at 12:05 as the Brewers go for the sweep. They will have an off day on Monday and then come back against the Phillies on Tuesday in the City of Brotherly Love. Night games on Tuesday and Wednesday. Day game Thursday. We'll have Brewers Weekly on Thursday night. Then they're back home. 6-game homestand for the Braves and these Reds one more time. But the Brewers have claimed the season series against Cincinnati. They have 7 wins already, and they've still got 4 more games to go head-to-head. So the Brewers are 1 game up in the record, essentially 2 games up in the standings right now in the NL Central. Vibes are good right now in Milwaukee. So 3 straight shutouts, back for more tomorrow at 12:40. My thanks to Matt Sossler, our producer, and for Jerry Augustine for joining me. I'm Dom Cotroneo. Keep on swinging.